The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks to you, O Christ.
Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours. From God, who is Spirit and truth, and from Jesus, our Savior. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. We say that sentence a lot in the life of the church. We say the Spirit is blowing through our lives. A couple weeks ago, we heard Jesus say, that just as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. And we stopped, and we imagined what it means to believe that the very love between the Father, Son, and Spirit, the love that created all that is, the love that is bigger and deeper than time and space, the love that is so creative that just saying a thing like, "Let there be light," makes it happen. That love is ours. That's the love with which Jesus loves us. So today, on Spirit Day, let's step back for a minute and say that the gift the disciples received in Acts 2 that Jackie just read, the rushing of the wind and the languages and the tongues of fire and the power to spread the good news, the gospel of what God has done in Jesus to the ends of the earth. That gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift that, which I just read in the Gospel of John, Jesus says is for us, the gift of the Spirit of truth that will shine a light on sin and on righteousness and on judgment, that gift that the followers will receive once Jesus returns to the Father is to be the Advocate. It is to expose evil and guide us to all truth. That is the third person of the Trinity, as we say. That's part of the eternal, miraculous, dancing relationship of Father, Son, and Spirit, through whom everything has come to be. It's the pulse of the oceans. It's the breath in the winds. It's the breath in our lungs. This is not some ghost you can conjure up to ask a few questions about the other side. This is not a little s spirit that you can maybe imagine having your back. It is one third of everything that is good in the world. And because we're talking about the Trinity, Spirit is not just one third. She's the whole of everything. Because it is confirmation today, And because I have had the privilege of studying with Chol and Indigo for 2 years, I want to stop and do what we would do in confirmation class. I just called the Holy Spirit she. Now, if that made you stumble a bit or sounded odd, and if maybe you were in class with me, you would have raised your hand and say, hey, can you call the Holy Spirit she? So let's just stop there for a minute. After all, this is Spirit Day. It is Pentecost Sunday, so we can take a minute to talk about spirit and even gender if we wish. The Holy Spirit is not a woman. And God is not a man. The way that we understand male and female is way too limited to apply to God. But it's very clear in Genesis 1 that God said, let us create humankind in our image. So male and female, he created them. So right in the very beginning, chapter 1, verse 26 and 7, God is plural. Let us create in our image. It's part of where we start to understand the Trinity. And what God creates, what this plural God creates, is male and female. So then, and then in the same sentence, God goes from being plural to singular again because it says, let us create in our image, and then male and female, he created them. It's more than we can grasp. If we are created in the image of God, then God has maleness and femaleness. And we spend enormous amounts of energy trying to carve up God into pieces that we can understand. And it's why talking about the Trinity is so difficult, because we can't understand being three things that are also one thing. We can't understand what it means to be in relationship with two other parts of yourself, which are also completely whole on their own. God is too big for us. Thanks be to God. Sometimes for moments, we can let our boundaries go and God lets us glimpse the possibility of the miracles and mysteries of who God is, like one God who is also three distinct beings. We call them people. We call them persons of the Trinity because we're stuck. All we have is our language and our understanding. But somewhere in that creative, eternal, loving relationship is femaleness. Because Indigo, who is about to affirm her baptism, was created in the image of God. And Chol, who will stand next to her and affirm his baptism, was created in the image of God. But we use Chol's pronoun an awful lot for God. Sometimes when we talk about God, we can use female language, and it's nothing new. If you turn to the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament scriptures, it is nothing new. We hear God described as a mother, as a hen, as a woman giving birth to the world, as a mother who mourns. So it's nothing new to use feminine language to describe God. It's just that we're not necessarily used to it. It's good and it's faithful to talk about Holy Spirit as she, and it's not heretical, but it's not what we're used to, but it's not wrong, right? We're in the midst of this. And it's not wrong to call the Holy Spirit he. This language is all we've got. So we do the best we can with it to describe what cannot, what will not, what refuses to be describable. Now, I know that I couldn't possibly love Indigo or Chol more than I do. And I know that we have confirmation on Pentecost Sunday, and Pentecost Sunday always has text about the Holy Spirit, and it's not some great spiritual coincidence that on their particular day we have language about the Holy Spirit. But here we are on their particular day, and we have language about the Holy Spirit. So before this confirmation lesson we just did, on trying to use the language that we've been given to describe a God that refuses to be describable, I was saying that the Spirit Jesus is giving the disciples and you and me It's not just some little ghost you can conjure up and ask a few questions. It's not the little S spirit that you think might have your back. I was saying that the Holy Spirit from God, who will bring us into all truth, is one third of everything that is good in the world. And it's not just one third, because Spirit is part of the Trinity. So she or he or Spirit is really the whole of everything that is good in this world. That is the gift we receive. That's the guidance we receive. That's the whole truth we receive. That's who will shine a light on sin and show us the way of righteousness. We get the whole truth. We get the fullness of love as our breath, as our rhythm, as our advocate. Indigo and Chol, it's a lot to take in and say that you believe. And I'm so proud of the work that you have done in confirmation. I'm proud of your questions. I'm proud of your prayers. I'm proud of the way that you embody worship here in this space, being leaders. And in a few minutes, you'll stand up here and make some promises. I've been thinking about you this week and wondering if whether these promises seem too big. So I went searching for a page in a book I read that I wished someone had read to me before I was confirmed. The book is called Still, Notes on a Mid-Faith Crisis, written by Lauren Winner. The character's name is Julian, and she has just finished confirmation classes, but she is about to be confirmed. A few days before the confirmation service, Julian told her father, who was also the pastor of the church, that she wasn't sure she could go through with it. She didn't know what she really believed, that she really believed everything that she was supposed to believe, and she didn't know that she could proclaim in front of the church that she was ready to believe it forever. Julian's father looked at her lovingly. "What you promise when you are confirmed," said her father, "is not that you will believe this perfectly today. What you promise when you are confirmed is that this is the story you will wrestle with forever." Because God is far too big for us. And also, God is exactly enough for us. Because God will always meet us right where we are. The story of love, who created lovingly, and when those creatures forgot how to love, drew near in a way they could understand, in a baby love, and then loved them back to life in ways that we cannot understand. It's too much, and it's also exactly enough. So if you are ready, I would invite Indigo and Chol and the Emmanuel members they chose to present them for confirmation, Aluel Adichol and Justin Keithy, to come forward to the font. Have you guys here? Indigo, can you be right here? And Chol, you can be here. Here's one of those for in a minute. You don't need that yet, but. And I'm gonna, can I take this microphone? Are you first, Ella? Okay.
I present Indigo, who desires to make public affirmation of her baptism.
I present Chol, who desires to make public affirmation of his baptism.
Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you for Indigo and Chol, who you have made your own by water and the word in baptism. You have called them to yourself, enlightened them with the gifts of your Spirit, and nourished them in this community of faith. Uphold all your servants in the gifts and promises of baptism, and unite the hearts of all whom you have brought to new birth. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. You take this. You can be seated. And I'm going to ask you to turn in the hymnal, and I don't think I know the page. 234, thank you. So as it is each year as we plan this service, I ask the confirmands if they would like to answer the questions on their own or if they would like their family to answer them alongside them, and they have asked that you would join them. So please stand and Troll and Indigo, along with your family of faith, I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God?
I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.